Everybody pick up your hymnal, let's turn to page number 23. Page 23.
This is it.
Morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. We had a good time yesterday, and Fred ate too much. Yeah, and so did Sam and probably everybody else that was there. We had a good crowd. I think that was the biggest crowd we've ever had at a fall festival that I'm aware of. There was a lot of folk there. We had plenty of good food, a lot of good fellowship, hay ride. They have a beautiful place over there, too. Thank you to the Kaisers very, very much. We appreciate you. Good time. Good time. And there's some food left over there, so I think that some and whoever wants to go by there and have some leftover chili and stuff this afternoon after church. So if you feel so inclined, go by over there and partake again. If you wasn't there yesterday, we missed you. And you missed a good blessing, great blessing. So maybe next time, huh? A lot of stuff coming up here shortly. It is actually November now. And if you don't know it, November, that little holiday in November that gets overlooked now, they start advertising Christmas before Halloween. But Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving. That's actually my favorite holiday of the season. Not because I don't like acknowledging Jesus' birth, but because it's not as commercialized, and it's really a time when we can thank God for the blessings that we have without all the hustle and bustle and that comes along with this commercialized Christmas we got. So keep that in mind. We will have that coming up shortly. And I submit to you, we should be thankful every day for what God's blessed us with here in America, here at Oak Hill, in this area that we're blessed to be a part of. So as we continue, we'll start on our announcements. This morning, Building Fund, the second time the plate is passed will be for the Building Fund. You know, it does remodels, upkeep, helps keep the place running. A lot of the stuff that we've done in the last year or 2 years have been done through the Building Fund, the new sound system, and just all kinds of stuff, carpet, paint, this, that, and other. We got some other stuff coming up we're wanting to do, so keep that in mind. Tonight is business meeting. If you want to know what we're doing here, I really want to know what we're doing with God's money, come to business meeting and take part in that. It really is all of our responsibility to make sure that we spend God's money appropriately. Okay? The food list for the Thanksgiving baskets, we have 12? 14. I lost Russell. 14 names. The list is back there on the table. That's just the starting point. So the way that thing is set up, they'll have a 14 items. If you want to bring all 14, just put your name on the item and the number you want to bring. If you only want to bring two, put your name and the number two. Somebody else can do the rest or any part thereof. If there's something else that you would like to add to the basket, please feel free to do so. So if, as Russell said earlier, if there's a corn there and the number is 8 and you or 12 and you want to bring enough or two cans of corn for each, just put it down and bring it. It'll be used. These baskets go to needy families, not just individuals, so keep that in mind. I can tell you from past experience that the families are very appreciative of the baskets. They're very much needed, and it is indeed a pleasure to be able to help them what little bit we can. All right, Thanksgiving week. Keep this in mind. We will be meeting on Tuesday the 26th instead of on Wednesday night that week so that everybody can prepare to share Thanksgiving with their family. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next Sunday, LaVita and Vicky. Any other announcements?
Page number 284.
A little silver and a little gold.
Yesterday, didn't we?
Yes.
Golly, the Kaisers put on a great, great thing down there at their place. That is a beautiful, I guess it's probably one of the most beautiful places around Garland County. But they've got a wonderful facility there, and they're gracious enough to invite us out to come and to, so we can all visit. I love visiting with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think there's a better place to be than right here in Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Churches. And I have visited a lot of churches. I still go around and I get to play music in a lot of different churches today. But this is home. This is where the Lord intends for me to be. And I have, Joyce and I both have just really loved being here. We've been here for going on three years now. And we just love it. And we're having more and more people come in and join, and that's adding to the fellowship and just making everything's better. As the Word says, it's just a body fitly framed together. Amen. And I love that. Amen. Well, we're going to sing an old song for you this morning. This one has a copyright of 1939. Was the last time copyright was done on this song. It's not in our second edition book. We've had to go back to another book to find the song. But I know you all know it, so if you know it, sing along. You're more than welcome. It's Heaven's Jubilee.
I thought maybe you wanted to come back and finish preaching. If you ever just feel like it, go ahead. I'm talking to you. Yeah. Tried to get Jeff to. He's hiding from me. Good to be here this morning. Good to see all of y'all. Wonderful singing. Love that song. Want to say something, a little praise report. We try to, in our class, we do our prayer requests, and then at the end, we started trying to have a praise report, and we can always find something to be praising God about. I don't know this gentleman, but was brought to my attention to pray for him. His name is Johnny Jackson. Many of you know him. A minister. Had some serious heart surgeries. They didn't give him a whole lot of chance, actually, to make it through the surgery, but God is good, and he made it through, and he's doing well. And so we're thankful for answered prayers there. Know that Brother Jackson needs our continued prayers, and so one of these days I'd like to get the opportunity to meet the gentleman and talk with him just a little bit. But a praise report, God does answer prayers. We're thankful for that. It's also amazing how God works, that last song, Heaven's Jubilee. Shouting hallelujah when we all surprise. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's amazing. Gene and I don't coordinate these things. That's the Holy Spirit that works. And some of the songs that were sang prior to that, even were leading up to that, it always amazes me how God works. He is, after all, in control. If God's not in control of what's going on here at Oak Hill, we need to fix it. But I believe he is. He continues to send people our way, and we are continually blessed here. Yeah, they're pretty good. We'll keep them. I agree. They're wonderful people. Rightly fitted together. That's what Brother Gene brought out earlier, and I concur 100%. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're visiting here and you're looking for a good church, you'll not find a better. And if this is where God wants you, we want you here to join with us. I believe time is short. Jesus is coming back, and we're going to talk about that a bit this morning. We've been talking a lot. We're going to read Matthew 28, 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Thessalonians 2. And that's one of those scriptures that I've been asked where was that. And in this study, it came up. I'm going to read it in a little bit. We've been talking a lot in our Bible study on Sunday night and Wednesday nights about the second coming of Christ and what will happen immediately following his return. This morning, I want to start back a little further, though. I want to go back and start in the beginning, the first coming, and then we're going to work our way forward to talking to that. In his first coming, Jesus Christ came as a little babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger with the animals. This king, this Messiah, this Son of God came down from his lofty throne and took on the form of a man as a little baby. He lived a modest life after that, son of a carpenter, Joseph. I know you know this stuff, but sometimes I think it's good for us to remember that he was the only person, as Braden would say, human, ever born of a virgin. It's never happened before, and it never will, let me tell you. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, of God. Jesus' Father is God Almighty. That's who we're talking about this morning. The only begotten Son of God. John 1 and 18, John 3 and 18, and 1 John 4 and 9, all call him the only begotten Son of God. Just a few of the scriptures that tell us who Jesus is. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the only begotten Son of God. Throughout his life here on this earth, this is amazing to me, but I know it to be true. He never, ever committed one sin, not even one little white lie, if you will. Jesus never did that. Can you imagine growing up in the same household with him? I mean, his brothers and sisters that were like the rest of us, sinful by nature, trying to live up to this perfect little baby, this perfect human, Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine what that would be like to be around someone like that. Y'all are great, but y'all are not that good, and neither am I. The only man to ever live a sinless life. And the only reason that he could do that is because of his Father, who is God Almighty. As we read in the Word, Jesus performed many miracles during his life and ministry here on this earth, and things that were impossible for mere men to accomplish. And he did that to show that he is the Messiah. He was falsely accused, wrongly tried, hung on the cross. He gave up his life freely. I love talking about the gospel. And that's what that is. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is, he was, and he always shall be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the reason that he did all that was for you and I. He did it for us. He did it for the Ted Bundys of the world. He did it for all the evil people, the Adolf Hitlers. He did it for everyone that's ever been born. All they had to do was accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just like you and I. Well, preacher, I'm not like Ted Bundy, and I'm not like Adolf Hitler, and I submit to you, you are just like them. You may not have committed the same things that they did, but you're sinners. You're just saved by the grace of God. And if you're not, you can be. We're all sinners. None of us are worthy. We need to get that through our head. I think sometimes that we get to thinking that we're better than we are. But let me tell you, friend, when we really understand who we are, we know we're not worthy of the price that was paid for us. He did it all for us. His resurrection. I love reading about the resurrection. You know why? Because when he was raised from the dead, he is the first fruits. He never will have to go back into the ground again. He has his glorified body. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Our Savior lives. He is alive today. And he told them, Go and tell everyone that I'm alive. Let me tell you something, friend. That's why we're still here, to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, but mostly him risen. He's raised from the dead. We have our marching orders, church. We have our directive. We have our mission in life. I love Matthew 28. Skip down to verse 18. before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he gave us these orders. Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We could stop right there and preach multiple sermons because we go forth, friend, not under our own power. We go forth in the power of Jesus. We go by his commission. We go by his command, and we go on his authority, and we go in his power. You see, when we preach the word, when we witness to people, we're not doing it on our own. We're doing it, and the Spirit of God is dealing with them on an individual basis. All power is given to Jesus. And here's what he says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here's what we do. Teach the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, and leave nothing out. We live in a world today that wants to pick and choose the scriptures that they want to believe. Let me tell you something. By the power of God, we go forth and we teach it all because it's all applicable to us, every bit of it. Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Listen to me, friend, this morning Jesus told us to go and preach and teach the gospel. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to just tell you right now that the Bible tells us that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the rapture of the church or the calling away, and we're going to talk about that some more on down in here. But listen, you won't be a part of that except to accept Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his sacrifice. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where you have to start. That's where you must begin. Go and preach and teach the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ is the only way. No under name under heaven given. And in John 14 we read, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. I love that scripture. It also gives us the hope. 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul, writing here by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, will begin in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Listen, I want to tell you something. You can't tell people how to be saved unless you've first been saved. Paul said, I'm telling you what I have received first. I want to tell you something. I'm standing before you this morning preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection and his saving grace because he saved my soul. I have experienced this personally. Paul said, I delivered unto you first that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Remember? The gospel, he lived a sinless life, he gave himself on the cross, they wrongfully accused him, they wrongfully tried him, they hung him on the cross, he gave his life, they buried him, he rose. That's the gospel. That's what Paul is telling us here. Because he met Jesus there on the road to Damascus. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're truly saved, you too have met Jesus on your own road. It's a personal relationship that you must have with him. You have to know who he is. And that he was buried, verse 4, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then it was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And last of all, and after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, we are who we are. Born again believers, sent to inherit and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Listen, we still preach what Paul is saying here. It's not me and it's not you. It's the Word of God. It's God's grace that we're allowed to be saved. It's God's grace that will allow us to be called up and receive our glorified body and spend all of eternity. In John 20, Jesus came into the room. If you'll remember the story, we won't go read it, where his disciples were gathered behind closed doors because they feared the Jews. He miraculously appeared in the midst of them. Following that, doubting Thomas saw Jesus, at which time he was told to stick his finger in the side to know that it was him. We have eyewitness accounts of Jesus walking this earth. We have people that can account for Jesus working his miracles today by saving our souls. If you're truly a born-again believer, you know that Jesus lives. We can bear witness and record. We also have the Holy Spirit of God, which draws us to an understanding that Jesus lives. The Spirit also draws us to know that we need Jesus to save us from our sins. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within inside of each of us born-again believers. And I submit to you that he's here this morning and that he will deal with each and every one of us as he sees fit. And what we have to do is listen to the Spirit. The Spirit of God will never lead you wrong. The Spirit of God will always lead you to Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is alive and well today, and he sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's awaiting God to turn to him and say, "Son, go bring my children home." And when he does, Jesus is going to come back in the air and he's going to call those of us up to be with him forever. The next big event on God's calendar, I believe, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And friend, it could be soon. And if you don't believe it, read the prophecies and just look at the world. And I could have read many, many scriptures, but for lack of time, I'm not going to do that this morning. I believe that Jesus could come back at any time. We could be here this morning and hear the trump sound and be called up. What a glorious day that will be. 1 Thessalonians 4. These scriptures are read many times at funerals. I want you to know, I'm going to read them quickly this morning, but those of our brothers and sisters, moms and dads that have went on to be with the Lord, that have been buried in the ground. They know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. When Jesus comes back, they're going up first. Those graves are going to burst open. I'm going to read it right from the Word, beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen to me, friend. If I fall over dead before you do, and y'all put me in the ground, when that horn blows, that trump sounds, I'm going to meet Jesus in the air just a little bit before you. Be happy for me. Amen. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain. And I believe there could be a lot of us in this room today that are fit this category. I don't know. It's very possible. Listen, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, you should have this scripture underlined, circled, and highlighted in your Bible. It's a promise of what's to come. I'm going to get a new body. Amen. Lawrence, your knee ain't going to bother you no more. Walter, you ain't going to have to take no more chemo shots. Amen. I'm going to be able to sing. It may not be pretty, but I'm going to sing anyway. I'm looking forward to that day. May it come. Listen, if you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you will be in this calling away or this rapture. When Jesus comes back in the air and that trump sounds, you're going to be changed. And the moment of the twinkle of an eye, this old body won't be bound to sin anymore. The aches and pains. Listen, think about this for a second. Man struggles to find a cure for the common cold. Jesus is bringing it with him. Amen? We're going to get a glorified body, this new body, like Jesus' body, that's able to be not bound by the laws of this nature. One that will never perish. No more sickness. Jesus is bringing back complete healing for those who have accepted him. Listen, friend, but for the grace of God, we would not be a part of this glorious resurrection, because we're saved by God's grace. And there will be many who miss this glorious occasion. Not because Jesus didn't have enough grace, not because there wasn't enough blood, but because they chose to reject Jesus. I've been asked many times if there will be people saved after the resurrection, and I strongly believe that there will be many people saved after the resurrection. We're studying about that in our Revelation study, so if you've not been coming, I urge you to come. But listen, 2 Thessalonians 2. I also believe, I want you to pay close attention this morning to what I'm fixing to say, that if you hear the word of God preached, and if you're convicted unto salvation, and you choose not to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then when that trump sounds, and when we're called up to be with him, your choice has been made. Think about that. Oh, but preacher, I know I need to be saved, but I'm going to wait till time is right for me. Listen to me, friend. If the Spirit is convicting you to salvation, the time is right for you now. And you may not get another choice. You may not have another chance. What if you're wrong, preacher? What if I can be saved after the rapture? What if I'm right and you can't? Do you want to chance it? Are you willing to risk your eternal destiny? Listen to the scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Listen to me, friend. God is going to give the people that knowingly reject Jesus Christ in this time a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and follow the Antichrist. Did you hear the scripture? Verse 12, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen to me, friend. If you're not saved this morning, and the Spirit of God is dealing with you to salvation, you better not put it off. You better take that step. You better accept Him before it's eternally too late, because you've heard the truth preached. And if the Spirit is dealing with you, you might not get another chance. Listen, I don't like those left behind books, and I'll tell you why. Because if you've ever read them, you understand that part of the thing that they were trying to get across is that if the rapture comes and you realize you've missed it, you can fight Satan and be saved after that. Listen to me, friend. You can only fight Satan through Jesus. You can't do it. I'm afraid that people get the wrong impression. Well, I know the rapture's coming. If all the church is gone, I'll just accept Jesus. It don't work that way. You have to be drawn. You have to be convicted. And you have to accept Jesus while He's calling. You get to choose. Make sure you don't choose wrong. Well, preacher, I've been told this, but what if you're wrong? Okay, well, what if I am? What if I'm right? What if you realize one day that the church is gone, that we've all been raptured up, and you turn and you look, well, I remember that preacher Sam telling me this was going to happen. I see it. I want Jesus. What if the Spirit's not dealing with you? What if you can't call on Him then? What if this was your last chance? Choose wisely. Those who put off being saved knowing they need it, I'm afraid that God is going to send them to hell because they've had their chance. They were having too much fun, maybe. Maybe they were enjoying the life that they were living of sin and partying and all the pleasures that this life has to offer that are just here today and gone tomorrow. One of these days, Jesus is coming back in the air and He's going to call those of us who have accepted Him up to be with Him. Things are going to change, my friend. It's easy to be saved right now. All you have to do is trust and believe. Well, how do I be saved, preacher? Well, it's very simple. I'm thinking sometimes we make it too complicated. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us very plainly. I just want you to skip over there with me and I want to read it. I don't want to mess this up. Skip over, read Ephesians 2:8-9. It says very plainly, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you something, friend. You're saved by the grace of God when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's the only part of salvation you can do. Jesus did it all. All we can do is accept what he did. That's where true life really begins. When you meet Jesus there on the road, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then he changes who you are. Then he changes your desires. Then he changes your eternal destiny. Be a part of the rapture, the calling away. If Jesus come back right now, if while we were here this morning, the trumpet sounded, and those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ were just taken up out of this place, and you saw it with your eyes, wouldn't you rather be a part of that calling than to be left behind? Dire things are happening after that, folks. Tribulation is coming on this world. Hard times are coming that you don't have to be a part of. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Be a part of this great calling away. Don't be left behind. Don't take that chance. Is the Spirit dealing with you this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I've prayed for you. I don't know who you are, but he does. I don't know who you are, but you do. Be honest with yourself. Choose wisely. Accept Jesus, and don't get left behind. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you, God, for sending your Son. And I thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come. And I thank you, God, the Holy Spirit, for dealing with us here on this earth. Lord, if there's any lost here amongst us today, I pray that the Spirit would convict and they would know in their heart that they need Jesus. But not just that they would know it, Lord, but that they would act on that understanding and accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, I don't know when the second coming is. I do know that from my reading and study and from conviction of the Spirit that I believe in my heart that it could be soon, any time even, right now. I pray, Lord, that none that's here this morning would be left behind. I pray for the salvation of each and every one. Lord, even further than that, whatever the will is of the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us, maybe they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and you have some other purpose in their life. Maybe you're calling them to preach. Maybe you're just calling them to submit or to dedicate their life. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that your will be done here in each and every life this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
277.